LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Week 15 starts it. It's playoff time. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is Joe Pizzapia and friends. It is me, Joey P. They triple dog dared me to do it. Erickson said, I triple dog dare you. It's the holiday season. So that's how I open the show, everybody. Welcome to the playoffs. What's going on, though? This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. And of course, it's Andrew Erickson. It's Derek Brown. And it's you. And we're all talking football here. The guys to get in your lineups, the guys to take out. This is for all the marbles. It's one and done. It's win or go home. Any other platitudes I'm forgetting? I don't know, but we're going to try to pull out as many as we can today and pull all the rabbits out of our hats as well. We're going to get the guys in your lineups that need to be there so that you can hold that championship up at the end of the day. You have done a good job, everybody. If you've gotten to the playoffs, that is your job. After this, things get weird, but to me, a successful fantasy season is getting to the playoffs. If you've done that, the rest is kind of up to the football gods. And then after that, it's up to us to help you. So let's go. Let's get after it. Let's start with the running backs here. Derek Brown, this is where you shine, baby. So after staying up till 4 in the morning and about 7 energy drinks here before the show today, let's talk about the running backs that we want to start in week 15, round 1 of the playoffs. Let's do it.
Start or sit.
All right. This is the group of guys that you're hopefully not going to be sticking your tongue to the frozen pole with. And everything's going to work out great and glorious. First guy I got to bring up here, and I poo-pooed on him last week. I talked about how I was not in on it. James Conner. I understand that Kyler Murray is out, and we're going to Colt McCoy, and it doesn't matter to me. I have James Conner as my RB11. ECR is at RB17. And this all comes down to a lot of things that Erickson brought up last week. Snaps. Volume, baby. Conner is back to being an elite workhorse running back. He's played at least 95% of the snaps in 3 of his last 4 games, averaging over 20 touches a game, almost 100 total yards per game. And I get that the Denver Broncos defense is getting a lot of lip service. Everybody thinks they're awesome. They're great. You can run on this defense. They're middle of the road in almost every running back metric known to man. 16th in rushing success rate. So Connor is going to get the volume. I have him, and I'm going to put him up in the RB1 range because that's where he needs to be.
All right, so James Conner is in. We love the volume. And look, Colt McCoy is Colt McCoy. He's been in the league forever. He's serviceable. He can get the job done. And everyone talking about the Denver defense.
Check downs, baby.
We talked about it yesterday. Bill Enright was on the show. He did a great job from Sports Illustrated. He was on. He was talking about how that Denver defense has kind of fallen off lately. And I made the point, they've just been on the field too much. I think they're worn out. I think they're tired. And when you have nothing left to play for, when you know you're irrelevant, that's when you start looking ahead to those trips to Maui and the sit on the beach and they bring you cocktails. If you're a defensive player, you don't want to take any more contact. You're kind of done. All right, give me the second guy you want to get in your lineup this week. And this name might surprise some people.
This will surprise some people. And ECR is at RB29 on this player. I've got him inside of my top 24 running backs, and that's Cam Akers. This is not just me being a stan, a willful lover of all things Cam Akers. This comes down to two things, the matchup, and again, we're going back to the volume. Since week 13, Cam Akers has been averaging almost 16 touches per game, a little bit over 52 total yards per game, and he's look, guys, like over the last two games, RB8, RB25. So ECR is banking a little bit too much into the name and not so much the production. And since week 11, and I talked about this in the primer before, guys, like Cam Akers is actually running really well. He's 20th in yards after contact per attempt, 4th in missed tackles forced, and 10th in PFF's elusive rating. And we know that you can run on the Packers. That is always tried and true. They're bottom five in every rushing metric, defensive rushing metric that you can look at. So Cam Akers, he gets 15 to 20 touches in this game. The Rams are going to run the ball. Kyren Williams has not been a thing. Cam Akers is going to be a top 24 back.
All right. And the third guy on our list here is another running back who's facing the same team. When last we saw him, he was on a bye in week 14, hopefully back and refreshed for week 15. Let's talk about Brian Robinson here against the New York Giants, D-Bro.
RB19, ECR has him lower at RB23, and I can make a case to push him even higher because Brian Robinson, another guy that we're talking about, guys that have been elusive down the stretch, that have gotten better as the season has moved along. Brian Robinson's one of those. Over the last 5 weeks, he is 22nd in PFF's elusive rating. He is 7th. And missed tackles forced. And we know that the Giants can't stop anything as far as the ground game goes. Since week 8, they're 25th in rushing success rate and bottom 5 in both rushing yards per game and explosive run rate. Brian Robinson's going to get 20 to 25 touches in this game. And the last time they played, he just didn't get into the end zone. If he got into the end zone, he would have been a top 12, top 15 back. So we're marrying volume and touchdown expectations. Brian Robinson's going to crush this week.
And Brian Robinson getting a fair amount of touches, too. 21 carries the last game against the Giants, 18 the week before that. He's had at least two targets in those games. And this week, Erickson, he's facing the 25th ranked defense against fantasy backs. That's the New York Giants. So how do you feel about getting Brian Robinson as a flex this week?
Well, I was on the Brian Robinson over when we were talking about some of our bold predictions earlier in the week. So I am all for Brian Robinson. I'm lockstep here with him at RB19 in my rankings as well. He's averaged 21 touches per game over his last four games played. You're just looking at rushing EPA, the leaders since week 10. Miles Sanders, Jeff Wilson, A.J. Dillon, and Brian Robinson. He's second in total rushing first downs. So he's been super productive. He's just moving the chains every single time. And the coaching staff sees that. It's like, all right, keep giving the ball to Brian Robinson. Move the chains. Like, let's go. This is how this offense operates. They don't want Taylor Heinicke throwing the ball to Jahan Dotson and to Curtis Samuel, like dropping back 30 times. It's not how they're going to win this game. It's not how they want to play on offense. So I think Brian Robinson's in for a massive game here. And Antonio Gibson coming off the bye week, still on the injury report with that foot. So just kind of keep the thing in mind.
All right, we're going to go off the show sheet for a second here. This is improv, folks, but I want to talk about it because I'm getting so many questions about it on Twitter, so many in our Discord. Kenneth Walker against the San Francisco 49ers tonight. We have to talk about it because I want to put this out there. Now, if you asked me on Monday, I would have a different answer than I had on Tuesday, then I had a different answer last night. Now it's Thursday. I have a different answer today, which I am starting Ken Walker if I have the opportunity. I want to make sure that we're all in lockstep to help people. I know the pod will come out probably this afternoon for folks to, I know, you know, for those who catch it later, I'm sorry. We're trying our best to get everyone's attention out there. But D-Bro, where are you at with Ken Walker? To me, I'm going down with the ship on these guys. I don't care. Yep. Bad matchup, bad situation. Don't care. He's my best player that I have at running back, that as opposed to some of the other guys we might have been talking. Like, I'm not starting Cam Akers over Ken Walker. I just want to make that clear for folks. Are you in lockstep with me? And I want to get Erickson's take too real quick.
Yes, sir. I'm totally in lockstep. I mean, and people could sit here and talk about Kenneth Walker and the fall off and things like that. Do we still not understand that he has a massive amount of touchdown equity in this offense? Huge. So we could talk about the bad matchup. We could talk about what running backs have done against the San Francisco 49ers. And it doesn't matter. Like, if Chef Geno gets them down to the goal line and Walker plunges in two touchdowns,
right,
he's going to be a top 15 back. It does not matter what the rest of it looks like. So, yeah, I've got Ken Walker as he's inside my top 15 running backs for the week because it's all the touchdown equity.
Erickson, what are your thoughts on Walker real quick before we go to the guys not to start at RB?
I don't have him in my top 15. I have him closer in the he's in the RB2 range for me because we have all the running backs available this week. I do think that he's kind of volatile because when you look at his running style, like he either needs to rip off a massive run because that's how he plays. Like he hasn't ripped off any massive runs when he's been healthy over the last couple of weeks, which is why he hasn't been productive. Obviously, you do have the touchdown equity, so that's why I think he is still an RB2. But at the same time, you know, there is a lot of risk involved. Like, it's really tolerating. It's looking at your lineup and being like, do I need the home run with Kenneth Walker? Because he could go out and play 95% of the snaps, like we saw from Travis Homer, who also missed the week before. And then they just gave him a bell cow role. So you could see that from Kenneth Walker playing 95% of the snaps. So not super concerned from that point of view, but also understand that, you know, someone asked me about Kenneth Walker versus Donovan Knight versus Elijah Moore. And I really had to ask them about like the context of their team. Like, what are you looking for?
Absolutely.
Like,
context
what
matters.
Do you need? Yep. And I think that's what you have to ask yourself with Kenneth Walker. Like, it's a very tricky situation. I think in most cases, yeah, you probably are going to start him. But in this particular
Erickson,
case,
look at this. At ECR, I've got Walker at 35 right now. Singletary's ahead of him. I'd start Walker over him. AJ Dillon, I'd start Walker over him. Antonio Gibson, I'd start Walker over him. Cordell Patterson, Leonard Fournette, Cam Akers.
Walker
Latavius
needs
Murray.
To be in the top 24. We'll
put
it that
way. I think ECR is still like picking up on him being
right,
like,
but I want to make that clear for people, because if they go there to set their lineups, ECR is dragging behind a little bit. Walker is an RB2. Yes, there's some issues. Yes, there's some downside, a lot of downside, but I think I just want to get that out there for everybody, because I think it's very important for information wise. All right, let's get to the guys you want to sit here, D-Bro, at RB week 15. And let's start here with one of the Detroit running backs. Which one is it?
What are people seeing that I'm not seeing? Like, DeAndre Swift is top 24? I can't, guys. Like, I can't put DeAndre Swift inside my top. ECR has him at RB22. Did none of us see his snaps drop to 36% last week? He got 9 touches and 39 total yards? Like, we know what this looks like, fellas. Like, it's back to Jamal Williams getting the goal line touches and DeAndre Swift in the 3 previous games prior to him getting a bump in the workload when he wasn't on the injury report, 31 to 34% of the snaps. The guy averaged 8 touches and 17 total yards. None of that is top 24 worthy numbers. Yes, okay, he has a red zone role. That's great, that's grand. If he doesn't get in the end zone, you're crying in your hands saying, why did I start DeAndre Swift? I can't rank him higher than an RB3, Joe. Can't do it.
No, I can't either. I would play Kenneth Walker over him.
Yes,
period.
Easy. That's not even a question. Show.
There's a 10-spot difference between the two of them in ECR right now, and that's absurd. And against the Jets, Goff outdoors, there's so many things in this game. And I'm the Swift whisperer, so when I told you to play him in week 13 against the Jags, you're welcome. And this week I'm telling you to sit him. So this is, I have a direct line. We have a whole special thing, me and DeAndre. All right, give me the other guy too you want to sit at RB, which is tough because we don't have a lot of options necessarily that we love. But you are down on somebody else in the same game.
I am lower on Donovan Knight, and I still have him inside of my top 24 running backs. I'm telling people you need to temper your expectations, and this comes down to context on your rosters. What do you need? And I put this out on Twitter and people are like, oh, you need a bigger sample size. And I'm like, okay, fine. Do we not understand? And Erickson brought this up again, giving a little shout out to Derrickson here, but Erickson brought this up last week. Do people not understand that the Lions have not been a good rushing matchup?
Not in the last couple weeks. No, they see, this is the problem when you hang a moniker on a team early on and then nobody pays attention to the trend afterwards. And this has been very dangerous. And we've talked about the DFS show for weeks now on Fridays on the live stream on Twitter. And I don't know why people haven't caught up with it yet.
Well, it's probably because the Lions have been horrible against running backs for like 10 years. Like, it's like been going on like
doesn't help,
literally forever.
But they have tightened up.
Yes,
they have definitely tightened up, and they've gotten healthier too, which has also been a big problem.
I mean, since week 10, they're giving up the fewest fantasy points in the NFL to running backs. And so I threw that out there and somebody hit me up on Twitter and said, you need a bigger sample size, bro. And I'm like, okay, fine. So since week 8, they're also fewest fantasy points per game to running backs. Since week 6, they're bottom 3. So we can just keep pushing this out, people. Like, the Detroit Lions for a long time have not been a good matchup for running backs. So yes, I'm lower on Donovan Knight. I get it. I'm not saying that he probably doesn't need to be in your lineup considering the other options at running back. But if you're looking at this guy bringing home the bacon and putting you over the top this week, not for me. I don't think it's going to be there.
I do love bacon, especially the center cut. That's my favorite.
So good.
Let's get to a little who should I start, which happens to involve Donovan Knight. Remember, if you need help, you can go to fantasybros.com/start. It's a free tool. Who should I start? You can get in there and use it. Plug different guys in there. See what the ECR says about them. Donovan Knight. who I had already put up here against the Detroit Lions, or David Montgomery against the Eagles. Erickson, I want to get your take here on Knight, and also him versus somebody like David Montgomery, who might be, you know, kind of boring, but we know what we're getting theoretically out of Montgomery.
I mean, I think this one is really simple. I think it's David Montgomery ten times out of ten. Zonovan Knight doesn't have the majority receiving role in his backfield. He's not the bell cow. Like, yes, he's going to be the touch leader for the Jets among the running backs over Michael Carter, but Michael Carter out-targeted him last week 6-2. He still played more snaps because the Jets were because they don't use him as much as a receiver. They still like to use Michael Carter. So if the Jets fall behind in this game, which is also part of the reason why the Lions have been so good against running backs, because they've been playing with leads, because teams can't run the football when they're losing and they have to play catch-up, Zonovan Knight's not on the field. So David Montgomery plays 80% of the snaps. Like, Khalil Herbert is not coming back. He doesn't come back until at least week 16. So Montgomery has a better matchup. He's involved in all facets of the game. And I mean, look, if you want to argue Knight's better talent, like, okay, sure, whatever. But that doesn't matter here for this particular week. So I think it's easily David Montgomery.
See, I agree with you, which again hurts my soul whenever that happens. But still, I agree with you. 10 out of 10, I'm going with Montgomery here in this one. Derek Brown, you want to sweep this 3-for-3?
Clean sweep, baby. David Montgomery.
Here's what's so weird. 77% Zonovan Knight to 23% David Montgomery. I would flip that bad boy. Like, to me, this is just an outlier. It's not correct as of right now. Let's do another one. Let's go to another guy in that same game. Another Lion. Let's talk about Jamal Williams, Mr. Touchdowns. Got a million touchdowns, but again, touchdown dependent. However, most weeks you can depend on him. Or Rashad White in a situation where it's hard to depend against him. On him against the Cincinnati Bengals. So, D-Bro, let's start with you in this one. You want to go Rashad White? I know a lot of this has to do with format. Jamal Williams in the standard certainly is very appealing. Let's call it half PPR, so nobody's happy. Rashad White or Jamal Williams, who do you want to go with?
I'm going Rashad White. I think you have upside that's baked in here. Like, if Uncle Lynn somehow goes out in the middle of the game, much less the pass game role. We saw Rashad White take over the early downs and still hold a role in the passing game. So we know that the Buccaneers can't seem to throw the ball down the field this year, at least Tom Brady can't. So give me the checkdowns for days. I'll take Rashad White over a player who's really, if he doesn't get into the end zone, and I know that he scored a bucket of touchdowns this year, if he doesn't get into the end zone, you're not happy with what Jamal Williams does outside of that.
Again, I'm with you. So 2-for-2, Erickson, you want to make a clean sweep here, White over Williams?
No, I'm going with Jamal, because you guys are fading the touchdowns when all he does is score touchdowns, and he's facing a team, Jets defense. There are three teams that have allowed at least 50% of their touchdowns on the ground this season. The Texans, the Bears, and the Jets. Is Jared Goff going to come out here and throw all over this Jets secondary? I personally don't think so. So if they're going to score some points, I think it's going to come on the ground. We already talked about DeAndre Swift. It's not going to be him. So Jamal Williams, especially Quinnen Williams, is not going to play in this game. Quinnen Williams is PFF's highest graded interior run defender.
Well, that's a huge loss. So are we definitive that Quinnen Williams is definitive out already?
Robert Saleh said he's probably not going to play. So that's how
when he is definitively out, that will push me to Jamal Williams, because I have been the guy who's been saying all week on stages here, everybody, you play for touchdowns in the playoffs. That's what you're playing for. Jamal Williams brings that. So if that is the case, and Quinnen Williams is definitively out by tomorrow, then yes, I'm okay with that pivot. 68% to 32%, by the way, Jamal Williams over Rashad White in the ECR. This one, obviously closer as it should be. And if you need more help too, outside of all the other things you have, again, my playbook, matchup tool, it's there for you. It's free. So go and use it. If you don't know who to start in your league, or you're not sure between a couple guys, get some more information. Again, fantasybros.com/myplaybook, or download the My Playbook app. It's free to do that. Sync your leagues. I talked to some people who recently just did it too, just for the playoffs. Cause like, you know what? I want to make sure I'm getting every bit of information I can. So it's a smart thing to do. Use the matchup tool. Go check that out. Win probability, suggested pickups, everything. Matchup tool is there for you on My Playbook. Let's go to the wide receivers. Erickson, this is where you shine. So give me the wide receivers here. We want to start in week 15, round one to the playoffs.
It's where I shine here on the show, but not in the rankings, if you ask Mr. Matthew Friedman.
Not in the rankings, no. Friedman was rough on you.
Oh, man. Friedman went for blood, man. I was like, whoa.
But hey,
I wanted to ask you
week.
To turn around to that see if good. I could see all the track marks on your back when he ran you over.
I thought the knife marks.
Well, rough, we're rolling off a good week. We talked about Jerry Jeudy last week, and that worked out. So hopefully we'll roll on the success. So first guy here is Michael Pittman Jr. I have him at wide receiver 19. He's ECR wide receiver 27. And it's really all about the matchup. Since week six, the Vikings are allowing the most fantasy points per game to wide receivers. First in points allowed to perimeter receivers. Second in fantasy points allowed to slot receivers. So it's really basically all over the place. They're just bleeding production. Pittman has a 25% target share over the last four games with Matt Ryan. He's averaging, you know, just 51 receiving yards, five and a half catches, eight targets per game, because a lot of his targets are very close to the line of scrimmage. But that's where Minnesota has been absolutely terrible. 30th in DVOA versus short passing game, 13th against the deep ball this season. So it's really how you just beat them. You get the ball quick. Michael Pittman, I think, is going to rack up a ton of receptions here. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see from him and Matt Ryan as they try to get away from playing behind a bad offensive line. So I think Michael Pittman, I know that he's been up and down, very hard to trust, but I think this is a good week to play him, especially in PPR.
Yeah, certainly against the Vikings, we want to get all those guys active. More to come on the Colts as the show goes on. Teaser. That's what they call it in the business. All right, let's go to another guy at wide receiver we want to play this week in the NFL. Who is it, Erickson?
Donovan Peoples-Jones. I have him at wide receiver 27. He's ECR wide receiver 33. And I just think the matchup really calls for Deshaun Watson to throw the ball downfield more aggressively. They're Baltimore Ravens. You can't run on this team. And we've seen Nick Chubb really fall off since Deshaun Watson came back. Not efficient. They're not being able to run the football because they're running more three receiver sets. They're not running as much two tight end sets because that's what Deshaun Watson is more comfortable with. But it's negatively impacting the run game. So I think they're going to have to throw. Donovan Peoples-Jones has been very productive in the two games that he's played with Deshaun Watson. He has 25% target share. Just last week, he had eight catches for 114 yards on 12 targets, 31% target share. He played 100% of the snaps, ran around 100% of the dropbacks. He had five deep targets. And now they're talking about, okay, let's dial up more deep targets for Deshaun Watson. Who's it going to go to? It's going to go to DPJ. And what do you know? The Baltimore Ravens, 30th in DVOA versus the deep ball. So Peoples-Jones, I think, is going to make some splash plays here on Saturday.
I think Cleveland's going to win that game outright. Just saying that.
Yep.
More on that at the Betting Pros. Go check out the Betting Pros pod for more about my rants about that. I'll probably even talk about it today with Bogman at 3:30 on Thursday when we do that. Actually, 4:30 on Thursday. My apologies. We changed the Thursday time because Debro's busy. Now we got to move around different times. I'm just kidding. I kid. I love you. All right. Give me one more guy here. DPJ's in. Michael Pittman's in. Who else is in and starting week 15?
It's Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore, you got to start this guy. Get him into your lineup in your flex spot. I have him at wide receiver 36. He's ECR wide receiver 41. You know, this guy had 10 targets last week, 23% target share, over 100 air yards, ran around on 91% of the dropback. So the biggest thing with Moore this season has just been he has been playing a full-time role. He just hasn't been playing enough. And now we're finally starting to see the snaps, the routes are increasing. And what do you know? The production has followed. So you factor that in. And with the matchup against the Lions, who just every single week, who's the slot receiver playing the Lions? Oh, yeah, play him. Because they have just been absolutely destroyed by slot receivers since week six. No team has allowed more fantasy points per game to slot wide receivers. So Elijah Moore is absolutely teed up here in a great spot for Mike White in this Jets passing game. Love Elijah Moore.
All right, not to blow up the show, but he's my flex appeal dart throw of the week. I mean, he was the sleeper waiver wire pickup of the week, too. We've talked all week about Elijah Moore. If it doesn't work out, we're going to have a lot of angry people coming at us on social media, which is fine. We're prepared for that. That's okay. But look, it's all
process.
There, D-Bro.
Process.
Elijah Moore, we talked about it on Monday. The process, as Andrew is alluding to, is what it is. This is where we're at, especially with Corey Davis's health. But it's really about the Lions at the end of the day and what you can do to them.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about Elijah Moore last week going against the Buffalo Bills. I mean,
you did?
And we're running it back because the matchup is there. The Lions are they're trying to cover up for their slot coverage. They had Will Harris inside. He's bad. Now they moved Mike Hughes from the outside back to slot coverage. He's even worse. So I'm with Erickson. Actually, I'm going to one-up him for a second here because I've got Elijah Moore at wide receiver 31. So yes, if he doesn't pan out this week, people are going to be upset, but I think he's going to have a massive game.
And people are mad at us, too, because we hit it and quit it with DJ Chark, and now we're on to Elijah Moore. But I don't care. This is what we do. This is what you have to do to get to the playoffs. You're trying to get to the playoffs, get to the championship. Okay, so Moore, DPJ, Pittman in. Who's out, Erickson, at wide receiver this week?
Yeah, speaking of DJ Chark, he's been great over the last couple weeks, but, you know, he's not facing the Vikings or Jaguars. He's facing the Jets. So you need to sit DJ Chark. I have him at wide receiver 45. He's ECR wide receiver 42. So ECR is low on DJ Chark, too. You know, just based on how he's been the last couple of weeks, you'd think he would be higher, but it's because the matchup is literally the worst, especially for a number two receiver. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about it. Don't play number two receivers. Don't play beta receivers against the Jets. Adam Thielen, he was horrible. Gabe Davis, he was horrible. So you just can't do it. New York allowing the fewest fantasy points per game to wide receivers since week six. rank 8th in DVOA versus number 2 receivers, allowing the 5th fewest receiving yards per game to number 2s. Week 15 is not DJ Chark week. Like, it's just not. It's really been the matchup the last 2 weeks, and it's the same reason I don't think you should play Jared Goff this week either, just because of the matchup. It's not slated for this Detroit Lions passing game to be super effective. Now, Amon Ross St. Brown is a little bit different because he plays in the slot, so I think that he will be fine. But besides that, like, I'm trying to get away from this Lions passing game.
Understandably so. Okay, who else do we want to sit in week 15?
All right, I'm going for a big name here, but I think it's warranted.
You stole my guy, too, by the way. Just want to put this out there. I make the show sheet up, and then the boys go and fill it in. Although this week, D-Bro was cheating. He was in the show sheet while I was putting it together. I was like, get out of here. You're not allowed to see the show sheet until I get all my names
that I got on there, and I'm like cussing you as I'm typing names.
That means we're all just super smart, as far as I'm concerned. That's what that means. But this is my guy, again, to sit this week. So once again, we're just all in lockstep here, which is good. So it's a big name, Erickson. Drop the big name. Do it.
Mike Evans. I have him at wide receiver 28. He's ECR wide receiver 22. So he has 0 top 30 finishes in his last 5 games. He has a 17% target share since week 9, which ranks outside the top 50 among all wide receivers. He hasn't scored since week 4. I know he's been close a couple times. Like, he dropped a wide open touchdown. He had one called back last week. But it's just the Buccaneers are not a team that you are just trying to get parts of, even though you think, oh, against the Bengals, like, it'll be a shootout. It's like, yeah, well, then why have the Bengals been allowing the 4th fewest fantasy points per game to wide receivers since week 9? If every time we look at the Bengals, we look at, oh, it's going to be a shootout. Oh, like, it's good for passing games. The Brady and the Buccaneers already throw more than any other team, and it still hasn't mattered for Mike
Evans.
I think you got to fade him.
And he might be done. He's had a glorious career. He is a Hall of Famer. He is. The consistency, a decade of 1,000-yard receiving seasons is amazing. But here's my point, and I wrote this up this morning when Mike Mayer, fantasy and NFL insider Mike Mayer, was asking us about the future pros this morning. He hasn't had a double-digit half PPR game since week 8, and he hasn't scored a touchdown since week 4. When you don't have players who have upside or floor, I don't know what the hell we're doing here. At a certain point, and you nailed it, Erickson, the volume's there. It's just not happening. You have to go somewhere else. And I just don't understand it. At a certain point here, it drives me crazy. He's wide receiver 24. And then I've got to scroll down to see guys like DPJ underneath him. Mm-hmm. See some other players, Elijah Moore at 40, who has moved up, but still Juju Smith-Schuster is behind him. I can't do this anymore, T-Bro. I just can't do it.
Nope. I can't do it either. I've got Mike Evans.
And up until yesterday, Christian Watson was behind him, which was completely absurd. So that was...
I'm on the pay train, guys. Like, yeah. I would be starting Juju. I'd be starting DPJ, Elijah Moore, Michael Pittman. I'll even start Gabe Davis over him this week. Like,
I'd start you over him this week.
I'm a touchdown scoring tight end. I've got my moves.
You're pretty
good
under center in the flag football.
I mean, just got to say, my 2 ankle braces, I can get around, baby. Okay.
I see whatever. You kept calling them braces. I was calling them weights. I said he's working harder just to show everybody else up. I thought they were ankle weights.
I'm just Jason Witten with a cannon for an arm.
I thought because you were so fast, we had to just kind of weigh you down to make you slower, to make it even for the rest of the playing field. That's what
I don't want that narrative. I don't want that narrative, because if any game footage ever comes out, they're going to be like,
I don't know, Erickson of the game
who's
film.
Who's that guy moving
Erickson
so slow across the field? Whoa.
Erickson and myself just scoring touchdowns left and right in that game, in those games.
Well,
so just
Erickson needs new shoes or he's going to be on the IR.
I was doing it with a broken finger, too.
My toe was so messed up for like the longest time. I'm still trying to recover.
Your toe? Remember what my finger looked like? Do you remember the finger?
Yeah, well, you had Taysom
Hill
finger.
That was an after-hours injury.
It was an after-hours injury. Defending our boss from a ball that was going to his face when he wasn't looking, and I suffered
for it. An erratic pass.
Speaking of after-hours injuries. I last minute, and, you know, next day, you tape it up, and you go play, and you go score touchdowns.
Erickson was limping around the bar that afternoon, like, my feet.
All these guys with their injuries this year not playing. Meanwhile, there we are out there like morons still playing through all these injuries. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Trophy Smack. This episode today is brought to you by TrophySmack.com, and TrophySmack.com is the only place to get epic trophies, championship belts, and rings for your fantasy football leagues. Trophy Smack championship belts and rings crush the competition, and their new custom design tool makes it incredibly simple to create a belt or ring of your choice with any league image or text that you want in less than a minute. And for listeners of this very podcast, Trophy Smack has a special offer for you. Add a trophy or belt and a championship ring to your cart, and use the promo code Fantasy Pros. That's one word, Fantasy Pros, to get the ring for free. That's a $59 value for using the promo code Fantasy Pros because you're one of our listeners. Again, that's trophysmack.com, T-R-O-P-H-Y, smack.com for all of your fantasy trophies, belts, rings, and loser awards too. Don't forget the losers and more. Check it out over at trophysmack.com and use that promo code Fantasy Pros for a free ring with purchase over at Trophy Smack on your trophy or belt. And now back to the action. Let's go to who should I start? Let's play a little game. Jerry Jeudy, last week's darling of Andrew Erickson, or Marquise Hollywood Brown. Andrew Erickson, who do you want to start this week? Because both these teams have different quarterbacks under center than we anticipated for this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jerry Jeudy. I know that both guys probably are going to have backup quarterbacks, but Jerry Judy's been consistent when he's been active this season. He has a very high target share in the offense, especially Cortland Sutton, who I don't think is going to play in this game. I just don't really want to play Marquise Brown. We kind of saw what we're going to get Marquise Brown with Colt McCoy last week, and it wasn't great. And Brett Rypien did throw a touchdown to Jerry Jeudy last week, so we already saw a connection between those two guys. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with Jeudy.
I tend to agree. Clean sweep here, D-Bro?
Yeah, clean sweep. This is easy. It's all Jeudy.
I thought it was a little closer than this, 86% to 14% for Jerry Jeudy. I thought it'd be a little closer, but it's not. Who to know? They're right next to each other in ECR. All right, here's another one, too. Gabe Davis, who can, you know, catch two balls and get you 25 points, or Zay Jones, who could catch you 10 balls and maybe get you 20 points. That's the tricky part here with both these guys in their respective offenses. Now, Trevor Lawrence played very well. Of late, Gabe Davis has been very quiet. Since that game against the Minnesota Vikings, that's the last time we've seen Gabe Davis be really fantasy relevant. So, D-Bro, for all the marbles here to advance, Zay Jones and the volume or Gabe Davis and the splash?
I'm going to go Gabe Davis here because I am worried that Zay Jones is going to see a good bit of Trevion Diggs. The other that's outside corner for Dallas has not been good. I mean, well, Anthony Brown is out with a torn Achilles. Kelvin Johnson is honestly a guy that you need to be throwing at. So if Diggs is going to cover Zay Jones, he's not going to follow Christian Kirk in the slot. I'm really worried about Zay. I'm going to go Gabe Davis because the same thing could happen in Miami versus Buffalo. Xavien Howard could shadow Stephon Diggs. And if that's the case, the easier cornerback matchup is going to roll to Gabe Davis.
You know, it's funny, Erickson. I've been going back and forth on this one myself. I'm curious where you land because Trevion Diggs also not 100%. You know, he's been struggling physically for the last couple of weeks. So it's really hard to go back to the Gabe Davis well. And I feel like this is going to bite a lot of people if they sit him this week because I'm kind of where D-Bro is, which is I want to play him against Miami in this specific matchup. But what do you think?
Yeah, no, I definitely understand the allure of Gabe Davis, especially because I do expect Xavien Howard to follow Stephon Diggs around. So that should open up opportunities for Gabe Davis.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we're not seeing this Buffalo Bills like passing attack go downfield. Like ever since Josh Allen hurt his UCL, like they're just really not being super aggressive. And they keep, you know, the weirdest thing is like John Brown is on this roster. Cole Beasley is on this roster. They're bringing back guys that were on the team like 3 years ago.
Ghosts of Christmas Past.
Beasley gets two catches.
I think Beasley's going to play over McKenzie this week.
Here's the thing.
We're playing for touchdowns, right? We keep saying that. And okay. Zay Jones, God bless him, he caught that touchdown barely last week, but he did catch it. I think that if I'm going to put, and they're right back-to-back in ECR right now. They are literally 29 and 30. I think Gabe Davis has slightly more touchdown equity this week.
All right, I talked about Gabe Davis, but with Zay Jones has a 30% target share in his last three.
He does.
He has.
But also, if you look at his game log, it's equally frustrating as Gabe Davis. So that's why I framed it the way I framed it, because one guy doesn't get a whole lot, yet he splashes. One guy gets a ton, and sometimes he splashes too, but he is equally ability. Look, he showed you against Detroit a couple weeks ago, got you 3 points.
Zay Jones has averaged 11 targets per game in his last four games played.
Gabe Davis has one game with double-digit targets. 11 points, 22, 3, 18. So he is all over the map too, just like Gabe Davis is. Let's be honest.
But he's had more splash weeks than Gabe Davis has, especially recently. So,
recently, yes, absolutely. But he doesn't have as many touchdowns for the whole year.
I mean, I'm going with Zay Jones. I mean, he's a 30% target share.
59% ECR Gabe Davis to 41% Zay Jones. D-Bro, did you have something else before we close out wide receiver? It's a great argument. They're super close. And I think a lot of people are having the same argument we are internally.
Well, and this comes back to the matchup, and I put this in the primer. If Howard follows Stephon Diggs, that means Gabe Davis is going to get a lot of Keon Croson. Croson has been terrible. 63% catch rate, 131.5 passer rating. Those are numbers that I want to pick on all day. So, yeah, I mean, I'm more worried about Zay catching the shadow. I don't think Gabe is going to get one. So, yeah, again, I'm going to go with the cornerback matchup. If it burns me, it burns me.
All right, we love touchdowns here. We got touchdown call contest too, still going strong every week. $25 from our Fantasy Pro Shop goes to the winner, whoever calls the most touchdowns in the contest. Again, it's a touchdown call channel in our Discord, fantasypros.com/chat, but you have to be premium. So you have to go and subscribe to our premium service here, Fantasy Pros. You can do that at fantasypros.com/offer. Still plenty of time to go premium, get the 6 free months, make the deposit, go call some touchdowns, win some free stuff. That's how you do it. Before we get to the quarterbacks, I want to give a shout out on the show to one of our listeners who wrote an amazing email to us. Well, to me, but I shared with the group because it really was about all of us. And I just want to shout out Ben Winstanley. When we are all tired and dragging here into week 15, running on fumes, as Derek Brown said, kind of going into the show, when we get emails like that, people who are enjoying the show, making it part of their routine. And I know there's many of you who do. We love hearing from you. So Ben Winstanley, shout out to you. Thank you for reaching out and taking the time to write a really nice note to all of us. And hopefully we get you some championships, buddy. Let's continue on here to the quarterback discussion. Here we go, boys. I can't believe we're here, but hey, it's 2022. Tom Brady, old man Tom Brady, or Magic Mike White. Andrew Erickson, let's start with you here. Tom Brady's throwing the ball a ton. The offense is still bad. Magic Mike White throwing the ball a ton. I don't know how many ribs he's got left. He could have one. He just said, take them all. I don't care. I'm playing against Detroit. What do you want to do here? Magic Mike White or Tom Brady? Who gets the start?
Mike White for me. Just matchup.
No hesitation. Lions. God, I love that. I'm with you. I can't believe it. The two Patriot guys have turned on Tom Brady late in the season, going with Magic and for a Jet quarterback, no less. But why? Is it just the Detroit Lions matchup? Is it good? Is it just as simple as that?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And when you talk about volume, I mean, the Jets have had a ton of passing volume as well. And except Mike White's actually like delivered more than Tom Brady has. So I'm going to go with Mike White.
Burn! D-Bro, you're going to join us with the on the stage here? Because Tom Brady is 12. Magic Mike White is 13. I know last week, you know, the point total was lower. It was against Buffalo. He had an injury. He came back. He's a gamer. But before that, 25 points, 19 points, 300 yards in both of those games here. What do you think, D?
This is easy, Mike White. He only has one less QB1 finish than Tom Brady for the entire year. One guy has 13 games played. One guy has three. Yeah, give me Mike White.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm with you, buddy. Let's go, Mike White. I'm sorry, Tom. Tom, I'm so sorry. By the way,
he'll look great playing for the Raiders throwing to Devontae next year. It'd be great.
Is that what it is? Hey. This picture of Tom Brady is a little creepy too. I just want to point that out here that we have. I don't know why.
Of them are in the year 2022. Yeah, they're getting every creepier. Picture of Tom Brady is cringe, man.
Yeah. He's like that director of food and beverage at the hotel who's like taking care of your wedding. I don't know. It's very
his body. His body is 45. His face is 3.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. All right. Let's talk about a guy who's only 25. Sam Darnold, we talked about his age earlier in the week, which surprised a lot of people, including myself. I thought he was a little older than that. Or Tyler Huntley. Sam Darnold has been all right. Got a matchup against Pittsburgh. You could throw on Pittsburgh. Huntley's got a matchup against the Cleveland Browns defense. It's been all over the map, but Huntley does run a little bit. So, D-Bro, I'll put this one to you first. Superflex, is it Huntley or is it Darnold?
I can't, for the life of me, put Sam Darnold into my lineup. No, I'm not doing that. No. Not when Carolina is going to like try to hide him and say, if we could possibly win this game with Sam Darnold throwing the ball 12 times, we're going to do it. So no, give me the rushing equity. Give me the passing attempts because Baltimore lets Tyler Huntley throw the ball a ton. So yeah, I'll take Huntley easily here.
I kind of think, like I said, Cleveland wins this game. And if so, you're going to ask a little bit more of Huntley anyway. Rushing equity's there. I'm agreeing with D-Bro. Where are you stand here, Erickson?
Yeah, I've never really been a Sam Darnold guy, so I'm going to go with Tyler Huntley here. I mean, I just think the rushing alone is enough. You know, before Huntley got hurt, I think that he would have actually been probably fine last week, but he obviously exited the game with an injury, so I'll go Huntley.
Huntley's picture, by the way, very, like, approving. He's very small. He's like a proud dad looking at you, like he's just, you guys did it. So proud of you.
Look I just at had you. To pull it up.
Look at you, right? You see the picture? He's like,
he looks so happy. You. Like there's just like so a silent nod. He's like,
he is. He's totally silent. He's like Mr. You're Miyagi right. At the end of Karate Kid 1. He looks so just proud. So the tail of the tape, Tom Brady, 64% of the ECR over Mike White. We think that's wrong. Sam Darnold, 55% over 45% Tyler Huntley.
D-Bro,
we think that's wrong.
Where do you have Tom Brady ranked?
I've got Tom Brady ranked at QB 15, and I might drop him lower than that.
I have him, honestly, I have him a QB 20.
Yeah, I'm going to drop him lower than that.
Hey, do you have Jared Goff over him this week?
He might be in there, yeah.
Yeah, oh, I've got Jared Goff over him.
I don't want to play either of them, so.
I understand that, but all the rants this week, you've been telling me every time I see you, take a shot at Jared Goff, and then you have Tom Brady beneath him.
Well, I mean, at least Goff has been good.
The list of guys.
I'm just surprised. That's
the list
all.
Of guys that I'll start over Tom Brady that are right next to him. I'll start Mike White, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Ryan Tannehill, all of them.
What about Watson? That's what
Watson's my QB 12 this week.
I'm starting Andy Dalton over Tom Brady. So
I'm not against that. Falcons, baby.
Wow. This is
that Saints implied team total is pretty big. It's pretty big.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right. Let's try to get some tight ends here to stream. Before we even get to this, we have to have a discussion about Yahoo where, Jeff Driskel is now tight end eligible for those people. And we're taking the questions. Is he the best streaming tight end if you play on Yahoo this week?
All right. I think so. I mean, if I knew how to like add him to the tight end rankings, I would probably put him behind Travis Kelce.
If I knew how to add him to the tight
end. He's going to play 50% of the snaps last week. He's seeing all the red zone usage. That is better than any other tight end not named Travis Kelce. Like, I'm sorry. Like, he would be the best. I would put him in my flex.
As the kids like to say, no cap from the Erickson there. No cap. All right. I just wanted to get that out there because it seems like it needs to be. All right. Now let's go away from insanity to reality about, you know, real football. Let's give me another tight end that we could stream this week. D-Bro, why don't you kick us off?
Ugly name, but I think the production's going to be nice this week. And I'm going to preface this. If we're at this point of the season and every single tight end that you're picking up off the waiver wire to possibly stream, you could poke holes in every one of their resumes. You could say, well, he was good here, but he sucked here. And that's what's going to be the case for Robert Tonyan. And this all comes down to the matchup. The Rams, since week 7, are 24th in catch rate, 30th in fantasy points per game, and 29th in yards per reception allowed to tight ends. So while the overall season resume for Robert Tonyan is terrible, the matchup presents itself that if the wide receivers are not going to get it done, which the Rams have been giving up tons of production to wide receivers, I think Tunyon's going to come along for the ride. Again, that's why I have Aaron Rodgers above him, above Tom Brady. I'm going to ride with Robert Tonyan as a matchup-based streamer this week.
All right, so Tunyon streaming tight end for you. Erickson, who's the guy for you?
I'm going back to the New York Jets because, I like Mike White. I think that you should be starting as many Jets as you kind of can here, especially in the passing game. So Tyler Conklin.
What a crazy thing to come out of your mouth.
Tyler Conklin for me. So last week we saw him 8 targets, 5 catches for 28 yards. Great usage, 71% route participation. Over 70% is a very good benchmark for a lot of tight ends. Since week 6, Lions allowing second most fantasy points to tight ends, specifically lined in line. So when a tight end not necessarily lined up in the slot, but when they're lining up on the offensive line, Tyler Conklin ranks 2nd in the NFL in routes run from in line. So it's very specific to not just tight ends in general, but to where Tyler Conklin lines up on the field in the middle of the field. That's where the Lions, again, mentioning the slot, that's how you destroy this defense. So I think it's going to be a lot of over the middle passes to Elijah Moore and Tyler Conklin.
Okay. Let's get to a little, who should I start tight end edition, Cole Kmet or Chig Okonkwo? Who are you going to start, Erickson?
I mean, it's Cole Kmet plays on every single snap and he's going to lead the team in targets, which is not the case with Chig. I know Chig has been like running in fuego when it comes to efficiency, but he's still running and playing less than Austin Hooper, which eventually is going to catch up to him.
I agree with Cole Kmet as well. D-Bro, 3 for 3.
Yeah, it's 3 for 3. And I got some pushback last week for the primer because I didn't put Chig in there. And I was like, look, if I'm not writing up a guy, that means I don't want you to start him. He is running extremely hot, like Erickson talked about. This guy's not even like running 60% of the routes. Like, eventually this is going to bottom out. And I don't want that to happen in the first week of the fantasy playoffs. So give me Cole Kmet easily.
Okay. Let's go to the sleeper starts and sits of the week.
Starts and sits of the week.
Sleeper app where real serious fantasy people play, not where anybody can become a tight end just because they looked at the tight end position once. That's not how you play fantasy football. But at any rate, let's talk about the sleeper starts and sits of the week. My start of the week is Christian Watson. I went on a rant yesterday on the shows about, I just didn't understand. And he's gone up the ECR since, but he was like in the low 20s when I was looking at it. Like, he was like a fringy kind of guy. Like, you got to start this guy. He's been a touchdown machine. And Jalen Ramsey ain't catching him, folks. he is not going to track down Christian Watson in an open
field.
Jalen
Ramsey's overrated. Like, even if he does track him down, he's still overrated. Like,
this fear of Jalen Ramsey, somehow, as long as Christian Watson catches the football, dust behind him. And that dust name is Jalen Ramsey, folks. It just is. So Christian Watson, get him in the lineups. Talk about touchdown equity in this game. He's got it every single week. You have to play him this week for better or worse. And look, I think it's going to be for better. I'm pretty confident about it. D-Bro, who is your must-start player of the week?
Well, it was going to be Christian Watson, but Joe got into the outline before me. I know.
It's okay.
Yeah,
I saw that. I kicked you out of there.
You sure did. So did. I'm going to go back to a player that we talked about earlier, and that's Donovan Peoples-Jones. And if we want to put the onus on one player for the Baltimore secondary, that's the reason why they're so wretched against deep passing. It's Marcus Peters. Mm-hmm. He has been horrible for much of his career against go routes. It's basically tried and true. Marcus Peters tries to jump a route. He gets burnt. Long touchdown. Let's go. Marcus Peters is allowing a 71% catch rate, 118 passer rating. Donovan Peoples-Jones is going to eat him alive on double moves this week.
Okay. Erickson, your must start of the week is?
Going back to J.K. Dobbins. I mean, look, he showed up off IR, was productive, was the best running back on the field. He's playing the Browns. I think that's just all you need. Just hope that they keep giving him work.
There you go. All right, let's go to the sits of the week. Mine's Mike Evans, so really Erickson stole mine because I was in there first. But look, we said everything there is to be said about Mike Evans. Those people who are looking at starting maybe Christian Watson or Mike Evans, there's no. Stop it. Just put your phone down. Stop trying to change those lineups. Leave Christian Watson in there. Mike Evans has got to be a guy, though. If you've got anybody else, any warm body that looks like he could be double digits, you play him over Mike Evans this week. Period. End of story. Stop chasing the pass. I don't care if he goes off. It's the right call to sit Mike Evans this week. D-Bro, who's your must sit of the week?
Talk about chasing the pass. This guy has not been good the entirety of the season. And this is with the team force feeding him volume, trying everything they possibly can. I don't know if there's a wide receiver that has done any less with this much volume. And that's Diontae Johnson. I mean, if you're in the fantasy playoffs right now and you have Diontae on your roster, there's no way I'm starting this dude. I mean, people could talk about regression and, oh, that means the 30-point game for Diontae is coming. Sure, you've been saying that all year. Good luck with that.
All right, Erickson, hit us up. Who is your must-sit of the week?
Going to Adam Thielen. It's a tough matchup here against the Colts. They've been really good against wide receivers this season, allowing the third fewest yards per game to secondary number two wide receivers. So Thielen is a touchdown or bust type of guy. I think we're going to see more of Dalvin Cook in this particular matchup against a strong, basically a Colts run funnel defense. So I'm going to sit Adam Thielen.
Flex appeal.
The flex appeal guys of the week. It's Elijah Moore. We talked about it all week. You already know the score. It's Elijah Moore. That's it. Got two words for you. Detroit Lions. I got three more. Magic Mike White. That's it. No more analysis needs to be done. D-Bro, favorite flex appeal dart throw of the week. And this actually was my original guy who I took out. And then you put him in the sheet after I put Elijah Moore. Just for full transparency on the show here. True story. True story.
Paris Campbell. And this is Erickson brought up how bad that Minnesota Vikings are against short passing. That's right in Paris Campbell's wheelhouse. They're allowing the third most yak in the NFL. Paris Campbell, since week six with Matt Ryan under center, 20% target share. I think Paris Campbell, I've got ranked inside of my top 36 wide receivers for the week.
Okay, there you have it. Andrew Erickson, close us out. Who is your must sit player of the week?
You mean my flex appeal?
Yeah, flex appeal. Oh, sorry, your flex appeal of the week. Yeah. Sorry. No, we already got that.
I can wax poetic more about Adam Thielen.
No. There's plenty of wax everywhere. I've already seen it. Yeah.
Plenty of wax everywhere.
Yeah. Erickson's hairless. There's no wax.
I'm
going
to go with Jerick McKinnon here. So I know that obviously we're really high on Isaiah Pacheco this week. He's facing the Texans. Yes. Jerick McKinnon has the exact same matchup. And whenever we have these juicy matchups with two running backs that could benefit, I just say play them both and just kind of let the touches kind of figure themselves out, because McKinnon has actually outsnapped Pacheco over the last 2 weeks. And we've seen this story before with Jerick McKinnon, where the Chiefs, they just turn the offense over to him more and more in these games towards the end of the season. We saw it last year. We're starting to see it this year. He's got a massive role in the red zone. So as much as we like Pacheco this week, you should like Jerick McKinnon as well.
Okay. Let's get the listener mailbag real quick and get out of here.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
This is from our Discord, fantasybros.com/chat. Again, free to join. You're a premium member. You get access to stages, AMAs, and a whole lot more. This is from Kay. Christian Watson or Brandon Ayuk, PPR. I don't care if it's a PPR, half PPR, standard. I don't care if it's a point per carry league or any of those other dopey things. I don't care. We're starting Christian Watson this week. And it's not a knock on Ayuk. Ayuk has had a very good season. I know he caught a touchdown last week. But look, we cannot trust Brock Purdy at the end of the day. And Christian Watson is absolutely on fire these last few minutes. I mean, for 4 weeks, 5 weeks now. What is more exactly I have to do? I don't know. Guys, Christian Watson, yes. Turn the keys. Come on, let's do it together. Put the key in. Put the key in. Come on. We're going to end week 15. Here we go. Turn the key. Let's go. We've turned the key.
Let's ride.
Let's ride. Okay. Oh, God. There you go, Key. Hey,
it's funny. It worked classic with Judy. It did
Key
work.
Asked the question, and then we turned the key on him. So that's it. See that? Full circle. Full circle. All right, everybody. Again, if you need more help, the playbook is there for you. Download the app. And I'm telling you right now, go out there. Have fun. I believe in all of you. It's week 15, round one. Go get that championship. It starts again today. Let's go. Let's ride. I want to thank the sponsor of today's show, and that's Trophy Smack. Head over to TrophySmack.com for all of your fantasy trophies, belts, rings, and loser awards. And don't forget to use the promo code FANTASYPROS. That's one word, FANTASYPROS, for a free ring with the purchase of a trophy or belt at TrophySmack.com. That's TrophySmack.com. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For D-Bro and Andrew Erickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.